Good morning, everyone, and welcome in. If you were expecting to come to Sunday school, then I'm glad you're here. It's time to start. Let's take the favorite gospel songs and turn to number 49. That seems to be a little bit loud. It's a good one to get the blood flowing on this morning when we're all tired, right? So let's turn to number 43. Number 43, What a Friend.
you, Brother Fabian. Good morning, everybody. Is everybody awake yet? I thought our crowd might be down today. Some forgot to change their clocks, maybe. I don't know. We are glad to see each and every one here today. We are thankful that you have come to be out with us today. Glad to have our visitors with us today. We thank you for coming and being with us today. And we just hope and pray that God will bless you in a very great way, is what I hope that you will do today. I do have something I need to do right quickly. Miss Molly, can you come here, please? Can you come up here? I think most everybody here today remembers that other day we baptized Molly into the church. And I want to present you with a Bible. That's your very own Bible. We understood that you like pink. So we thought you might enjoy that. So I wanted to give that to you today. You're welcome. I have Sarah's up here. But I understand Sarah's not feeling well, so we'll get hers to her here in a few weeks or whenever that she's able to be here. I understand that they're having spring break here in the next few weeks too, so we want her to get her Bible then is what I'm going to do. All right, let's do children's church right quickly. Kids, everybody that will, come on up for children's church. Let's go right over here. I'm going to use Sarah's Bible is what I'm going to do. Come on. I need all the help I can get here. All right. Oh, here comes Stevie. Good to see Stevie up here with us, too. Good to see all of you today. Thank you for coming to be with us today. I said I was going to use Sarah's Bible here, and I hope she won't mind that very much. What I want to talk to you about today is something very simple, and I'm not going to keep you very long. Like Brother Sam always says, I've checked your schedule, and I know you got a lot going on. So the thing that I want you to keep in mind today is something very simple, is this word, this little book right here. Each one of you that's joined the church, you've received one of these too, whether it was this color or maybe it was black or brown or I think we had kind of a green color too that we gave that some of them wanted. And I hope that you have enjoyed it, not just to hold your table down. You see, a lot of people will take these Bibles and they set them over here on the shelf like that. And they'll look at it every once in a while, and they'll say, well, I need to pick that up and read. But they don't pick it up. They'll look at it another time, and they'll start to rake the dust off of it, you know. Maybe in y'all's cases, maybe you expect your mother and daddy to, or mother to dust it every so often. And what I want to talk to you is about is in this book here is answers. You might not think of it and you might not really be able to understand it that much, but I heard a young lady speaking this week, and she was having a hard time is basically what she was doing, and she was having a hard time with things at work was what she was saying, and she had heard somebody say, just read your Bible. Well, she just opened up her Bible, is what I understood she did, and she started reading, and there was the answer to her problem. You see, God can reveal this word to you in the very same way. He can show you the things that bother you. Sometimes, I guess I talk about this sometimes as far as kids is concerned, maybe this sometimes there's bullies in your life. There's answers on how to handle them. Maybe it's a temptation, you know, like, can you, to lie or to take something. There's answers on how to handle that in this book. Just take time to read it. And you might look at it and say, well, I don't understand it. The more you read it, the more you will understand it, is what I'll say. It took me a long time to ever figure out how to read this thing and just understand a little bit. You don't have to understand it all, but if you'll look at it and try to read it, you'll get an understanding. And if you have a question about a verse, maybe you say, well, I don't understand that. There's two ways of handling this. You can always come and ask me. I'll do my best to answer it, the question, okay? But this is what a man years ago, they said he would do. He would read a verse, and if he didn't understand it, he'd put his finger on the verse, and then he'd start praying and asking the Lord for understanding. And he said usually by the time he got through praying, he understood what it meant. So that's just a little bit of instruction for you today. Since we was handing out some Bibles today, I thought it'd be good instruction for you today. Okay, I'll turn you loose. I'll leave this here for Sarah when she comes back. And we'll enjoy being able to present that to her when she's able to come back and be with us again. It's good to see each and every one with us today. Let's pray for the ones that are not here today. And let's pray that the Lord will just help them to be able to do what they need to do today for God. There's a lot of services going on for God's cause. I'll say it that way. I want you to pray for Macon's revival. They've had a revival going on this week, and it's affiliated with Macon Christian Academy, which is a missionary Baptist school. And every day, the preachers have had the opportunity to preach to probably well over 100 kids. And many of them are not saved. And I went and visited with them Friday, and there was as many as 10 that were bowed down praying. And so be prayerful for that meeting and pray that the Lord will bless it with more souls saved. I asked the pastor about it and had any to say that they were saved. And he said, we've had one young lady that told her mother, and then she told me, but he says, I want her to tell everybody else. That's the way we like to hear it, isn't it? And so let's be prayerful for that young lady that she's saved, she'll tell it, but let's pray that there'll be more saved at that revival meeting. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Is there any other prayer request? Let's remember the ones in our church that are sick. Brother Stuart and Miss Pauline said they went and seen Brother Sonny and Miss Linda. Miss Linda's better, a little bit better. Still got to have hip replacement, but she said that Brother Sonny was sleeping most of the time now, and that is part of what dementia does for someone. So let's do remember Brother Sonny in our prayers and Miss Linda also. Is there another prayer request? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Josh. Let's do remember the ones that are lost, especially those that are 10 here. We've got several that are here that are not saved, and they've got to get to the place where that they can be saved. They got to get their heart right, is what they've got to do. So let's be prayerful for them. Somebody else. Lord help. Let's do remember, Brother Slick, Miss Barbara. Miss Barbara's sugar is really out of whack lately. It's 360 this morning. So do remember her in your prayers, and Brother Slick also. Somebody else? Brother Stewart. Yeah. 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 I was going to bring that up. I appreciate you bringing that up, but I was going to. Brother Sam is filling in today at a church, and let's be prayerful for him as he'll be preaching today. I think they meet at 11 o'clock, but let's do remember them in our prayers. Somebody else? Yeah. Let's do remember Sister Ashley. She'll be having that shoulder surgery Thursday. So let's be prayerful for her. And I think we just embarrassed her to death. And I made it worse, didn't I? I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Let's do remember her. She's just passing it off. I understand that, but we need to be prayerful for her. Somebody else. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and let's just ask the Lord to be in our midst. I hope you'll pray for me if the Lord's will that I stand today to bring the Word of God. I pray that you will pray for me that it'll be what God would have it to be in this service. Brother John, would you lead us in prayer, please?
For our last congregational number, unless the Spirit directs otherwise, let's do number 7.
Thank you, Brother Fabian. Thank you, Sister Rachel. Thankful for Landon coming up and being in the choir this morning. Appreciate his help up here today. Would like to say I appreciate anybody that would come up and help out singing up here in the choir area. We always appreciate that being done. And we're glad to be in the house of the Lord today. Let's do remember one another today in this service, and let's pray that God will bless it in a great way. We want to follow the Lord. Does anybody have anything upon your heart today? If not, turn to the last book of the book of Luke, the last chapter of the book of Luke, chapter 24, in other words. If you do a quick look at this, you realize this is after Jesus has been crucified. And actually, this is at the point of the 3 days and three nights that he has been in the grave. This chapter starts off with the women coming to anoint the body of Jesus after the Sabbath day on the first day of the week. And it says that they came, excuse me, and found the grave empty. And what the scripture says that they came back and told the disciples what they had found. They also saw an angel there that told them that he was alive. And what the scripture says here in Luke, it says that Peter went and ran to the grave. In the book of John, it says Peter and John both ran to the grave and looked in and saw it empty there at the grave, there in the garden. Now, we're going to start our reading lesson with verse 13. Verse 13 is where we're going to start at. And it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus." Two of them being some of the other disciples, not the apostles, but two of the disciples themselves, they started on a trip to this village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, which would be about 2.5 miles is about what I understand that would be. So not a real long distance. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And we're going to stop our reading lesson right there. We may refer a little bit more to the rest of the story as it is, but we're taking our thought today from this last verse that we read, and this is where that the disciples, these two disciples, on this journey, not a long journey, to Emmaus, and as they were walking, they was talking about what had went on. They was talking about the fact that Jesus had been crucified, had died, and you'll find out later in this reading, they say they were talking about how that they thought that Jesus was to be that king that would deliver Jerusalem. It also said about them that they realized he was a great prophet and had much power. And because of all these things, they thought that he was the Christ, is what it says. But I want you to notice a phrase that is found in our last part of our reading lesson. And it says, "And Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Now, my question today is have you ever had the Lord to draw near to you? I have myself. I'm not just talking about when that I got saved. I'm not talking about when you got saved. I'm talking about, have you ever had that time? You notice that it says that these two men communed together. And What that meant was that they were sharing in what had been going on. They shared one another's thoughts and feelings. That meant that they were talking about what they were had experienced over the last few days. And they shared in that so much that Jesus came near unto them. I'm of the opinion, really and truly, they was walking along, and this man kind of walked up behind them and got into the conversation with them. He got in and started listening to what they were saying. And my question is today, have you ever had that kind of a feeling where that Jesus came up and just got real close to you and just entered into a conversation with you? I'm going to tell you, it's really something special when you do that and really realize that he is right there. Now, he's not there in a bodily form like he was with these two men. I believe he was there in body with them, but he was there with us. It is that deep-rooted impression that the Spirit of God has within us that we realize that he is there. That, and you might be saying, you're talking about Jesus, now you're talking about the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I am. But they're one and the same as what they are. And what I mean by that, they are God together. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And when they commune with us, it is a wonderful, wonderful feeling for us to be in. Now, I want to give you another version. It comes from the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, and you've heard this verse quoted probably many times if you've been in church a lot over the years. But in verse 20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst." Now, what he is talking about there, he most of the time we kind of take it as being two or three of us, people that are coming together and meeting together with God's people, and we start to worship, and then God will be in our midst. Now, let me just correct you just a little bit here. If you think about it today, you and the Lord, that makes two, doesn't it? And he is there in the midst. And what I'm trying to explain to you today, you do not have to be in a church service to get the Lord close to you. There's many times that I find myself driving down the road and maybe a song is going on the radio and it starts to remind me of Scripture. It starts to remind me of God in those times, and I just start to feel the Spirit of God there in the car. Many times there's opportunities when I'm out in the yard or on the farm one and moving around, and those things start just popping into your mind about what God has done for us and can do for us in those times. And you start to have a little bit of a time of true communion with the Lord. He draws real close to us in that time. So where two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, I'll be there in that midst. And you and Jesus, it makes enough for the Spirit of God to want to dwell together. I think we can definitely say today in this verse that we're talking about these two men talking about the Lord in that day and talking about everything that they had thought they'd understood on this walking journey of about 2.5 miles, and talking about the Lord rising up out of the grave. It was something that was of a great concern to them. Now, One of the intentions of this message today is to show you the different ways that the Lord comes to us, not as far as in body or spirit, but in his instruction on those days. When Jesus came to these two men, you could say he just came up and eavesdropped for a little bit and heard what was on their hearts and on their minds. But he started the conversation and just basically said, why are you talking about these things? Why are you, what is it that you're talking about? And the two men, they basically said, where have you been? Have you been under a rock somewhere that you didn't know about Jesus? That you didn't hear about his miracles? You didn't hear about his power? You didn't hear that he was thought to be the king of the Jews? You didn't hear these things. And what the scripture goes on to say in verse 25 of that 24th chapter, he says, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Now, it is important for us to realize today that God wants us to not be slow-hearted. In the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, I want to go there rather quickly, and if we can, to the 14th verse there. In the 16th chapter, book of Mark, the 16th chapter and the 14th verse. Sorry about that. It says, "When Jesus came to his disciples and appeared to them, unto the 11 as they sat at meat," or during time to eat, "he said he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart." That word "upbraided" is a word that we don't use anymore. I had to look it up to see just exactly what it means. And this is what Webster said it means. It means to charge with something wrong. In other words, they were doing something wrong in that day, and he was charging them. Maybe it was even something that was even disgraceful. And you might say, well, that's a little bit strong when you consider these disciples had followed him all of this time, and he had told them that he would die on a cross. He had told them that they were going to persecute him, they was going to try him, and that he would even be crucified. But he also put in a remark there at the end, "And yet 3 days he would rise again." And what this was saying, what Jesus was saying to these disciples, "You've heard me talk about what was going to happen, and yet you're in unbelief." When that the disciples themselves, at that very moment, these two especially, he said, "Thou fools and slow of heart today." He said, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? He started showing them, and what it says in verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Now, if you go back to Moses and his writings, and then you look at all the prophets, basically what we're talking about is the book of Genesis all the way up to Malachi. That's Moses' writings there in the first five books. And then the rest are considered to be the prophets there. There's better than 70 verses that I know of, and probably more than that, that talk about Jesus and his death and burial and resurrection. how that he would suffer in those things. He said, now, you were slow of heart in that time. Why did Jesus come to them in such a way? Well, I think every one of us realizes there is times when we get downhearted. And truthfully, we got to get slow-hearted as far as following the Lord. Even to a point sometimes we may get in a form of disbelief, or not to the point of losing our salvation. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about just a point of kind of, why do I need to go to church? Why do I need to study my Bible? Why do I need to sing the songs of Zion? Why can't I be just like everybody else out here in the world and live like everybody else and go on about my life? That's unbelief. Now, Jesus said, he said unto them, you're slow-hearted. What he called them over there in that 16th chapter of Mark was, and I didn't read it, but he said, you're hard-hearted. Hard-hearted. What does that mean? They're stubborn. Stubborn. You might say, why would he call them stubborn? He had told them that he was going to suffer. He had told them that he was going to be persecuted. He told them he was going to be tried. He told them that he was going to be beaten, whipped, and even crucified, and would die on the cross, and yet 3 days he would rise again. Heard it right straight out of his mouth, and now they're not believing. Well, let's move a little farther here. In the 20th chapter of John, I want you to see a little bit more of this, because I want you to see how Jesus is coming to us in these ways. In the 20th chapter of John, you get a little more highlight of how that Jesus came to the disciples there in that room. And what it starts out talking about here in this 20th chapter is how that Jesus came to them, and he came in and he basically showed him his hands and feet. He just came in the midst of the room, and he said, take me, feel me, is what he basically tells them. I believe that's over in Matthew where he says that. And they believed at his sight. Well, there was one disciple that was not there, and his name was Thomas. And he has been given the title of Doubting Thomas, hasn't he? He doubted the Lord. If you really go back and look at him, every one of them doubted the Lord. Maybe his Thomas was a little bit more visible than anybody else, but any of the rest of them, but I tend to doubt that myself. But he said, after they told him that the Lord had appeared to him, he wasn't there at that first meeting. He said, I'm going to just be honest with you, folks. He said, I saw him die. I saw him on the cross. He said, I saw him put in the grave. And he said, I know he was dead. I saw them put the nails in his hands. I saw him put that spear in his side. And he said, I'm not going to believe he's back alive until that I can put my fingers in those nail prints and even put my hand into his side. 8 days later, the Lord gave them all time to think about it, didn't he? The Lord gave them time to think about what he had showed them in front of that. No doubt Thomas thought within himself, Lord, they said you arose, why ain't you come to me? Now, I'm going to ask you something. What is the definition of faith? You'll find it in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Let me turn over and I'm just going to read it so I don't mess it up. 11th chapter and first verse, the definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. You see, The Lord wants us to have faith. He draws near to us at times just to check out our faith. He draws near to us wanting us to put our trust in Him, to believe in Him. You ever had those times when the devil kind of gets here in your head? You know, we talk about him being on the shoulder. Sometimes he gets right here in our head and he says, do you really believe He died and rose again? You wasn't there. Thomas said, I was there. You know what the Lord did? On that eighth day, the Lord came into that room. The doors were shut. And He came into that room. And truthfully, it doesn't say this, but I have to believe that when the Lord walked into that room or was in there in that room that day, Thomas being there, He looked straight at Thomas. He wanted to commune with Thomas right then, didn't he? He wanted to get close to Thomas. Whenever you're in doubt about things, you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to see Him. Not physically, but with the eye of faith. What He wants you to do is to put your trust in Him completely and wholeheartedly is what He wants you to do. And in that moment, though, He walked into that room, and Thomas standing there in the midst of those people, the Lord reminded him of His words. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what you would have done. Surely I would have said, oh, Lord, it's You. Yeah, I see You now. I believe You. Yeah. But the Lord reminded him of His words. You ever had the Lord remind you of something you did or said? Maybe a lack of faith at times. I was close to you right there. You remember that, don't you? You see, that's a reminder of your salvation when He walks up there really close to you and starts talking with you, reminding you of these things. He said, Thomas, here's my hand. Put your finger in there. Lord wasn't there, was He? Oh, yeah, He was when Thomas made that statement. He said, Thomas, here's my side. Put that spear in there. Put your hand in that hole right there. You see, those marks were still there. But you see what the Lord was doing. He wanted to draw closer to Thomas in that day. You see, what Thomas did when all of these things were going on, he cried out, my Lord and my God. He knew who He was. You see, what the Lord is doing when He draws nigh unto us, it's just like the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. They were walking in that way that day. And what the Scripture said, their eyes were holding from Him. They did not recognize Him. You ever felt like, Lord, after something happened, you said, Lord, I didn't realize You were here. But You was. Lord, He had talked to them. They still didn't know who He was. He's getting down close to, they got to the place they needed to be at. And they said to Him, you stay here with us. Day's just about done. You just stay here with us. So they went into the house. They started breaking bread, but Jesus broke the bread and started blessing it, and their eyes were opened. You know, I'm bad to do this. You know, I look at somebody, and I know their face. Where do I know them from? Who are they? I can't think of it. Boy, it drives me nuts. It does. It drives me crazy just to be like that. You know, thinking I ought to know who they are. All of a sudden, their eyes was open and they knew who He was. But they didn't get to lay hands on Him. They didn't get to embrace Him. They didn't get to appreciate Him. They got all the teaching that He had for them there in the last little bit. They got all of these things in their minds at this time. Now they recognize him and he was gone. And they said, did our hearts not burn? Whew. You know what? That's a wonderful feeling. When the Lord is so close to us, when he's teaching us, and our heart starts being so warmed up in that way, in that time, and we're just feeling the joy of our salvation. We're understanding the Lord even better when he's revealing scriptures to us, showing us what they mean at that time. Brother Stewart was talking about a subject this morning, and I had an analogy to go right along with it. I never did get a chance to share it, but it was just going right along with what he was saying, and I knew where it was coming from, that warm feeling inside just burning of what he has, what God has given us to understand. Did our hearts not burn while he opened up unto us the scriptures, while he opened up all things unto us? Now I'm going to give you one other quick thing, and I'm going to be done, Brother Fabian. If you go back up to verse 19 here in this 20th chapter, you're going to notice what the Lord does. I think it's every time that he comes by us. Even when he has to charge us with something that is wrong. You might call it a salutation or greeting. And it really was. But Jesus, when he walked into the room that first time, you know what he said? Peace be unto you. You know what the Lord wants us to have? He wants us to have peace. Peace of heart? No, that's when we get saved. But he wants our minds to have peace in the sight of them. Oh, in these days, we live in a day and age. Oh, man. It's how many of you got up this morning? What time is it? Oh, no. It's hour later than what's been be. Or hour earlier than what's been be. Oh, no. I'm behind right now. Oh, no. I got to get. Oh, no. Everything ain't working right. I can't even get my clothes on right. Put a shirt on this morning, put it on, and I couldn't get the collar right, and I took it off. You know, those kinds of things. You can't get your mind going. I got over here trying to read a while ago and trying to read all my scripture. Things kept popping, rolling through my mind. That's what God is wanting us to have, is just peace with him. He wants us to have peace of mind, peace of heart. He wants us to just enjoy working for him and worshiping him. While we stand and sing today, my wish for you today that, first of all, the Lord will draw nigh unto you today. That he'll just draw, get right up in your heart. Maybe he'll sit down next to you for a little bit. That's my heart's desire. And when you get ready to go today, when you get ready to leave this service, they don't just vanish away. That's what happened with these men. But the Lord had a reason for them to do that. You know, for him to vanish away. You know what it was? They had to realize who he was first. But you know what they did? Even though it was late, they got up and they went back to tell the other disciples. When you get that kind of peace, you can tell people about the Lord. You don't fear them. You're not afraid of them anymore, are you? It's a wonderful feeling to have peace with God when he draws nigh unto you. While we stand and sing today, seek that peace today.
If your heart is burning within you and you need that peace this morning, come seek it. Let's turn to number 59.